What's going on, everybody? You're back with the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, episode number 38, and I am with my friend, coach, and mentor, Mr. John Meadows. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's happening?
Not much. It's crazy times right now, and I've been getting loads of questions, and I thought, who better to ask than the coach himself about some of these questions. So I wanted to touch on some of the stuff people can do during Corona, and I wanted to touch on the current diet that you gave me, and we can kind of explain things to people on what to do moving forward. How's that sound?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right.
All right.
What kind of good questions you have for me then?
Well, the number one pressing question I keep getting over and over again is, what do I do if I'm running a cycle?
It depends. If you're not able to train in a gym or train hard, then pull back on the cycle. I see no reason to do a full-blown cycle if you can't even train. And it's like, I feel like if you're going to do it, you should take advantage of it, right? So I would say pull back. Go back to HRT or PCT is what I would say. I'm assuming if they're asking that question, they probably don't have access to a good training facility. So that's what makes me answer it that way.
So if you're using bands at home, or you just have a set of dumbbells or some like mediocre stuff, it's not really worth being on a full cycle, right?
I don't think so. I think bands can be effective, but I wouldn't say they're going to be just as good as an entire routine that we would do in a gym.
Yeah. And when you say HRT or PCT, you mean they go off all the way, or they go down to like what dose would you say is reasonable to be at?
Yeah, you know, like a 200 milligram a week dose of test, or like PCT where they try to restart their own system again. You know, I always tell people, you know, I don't even know that people do PCT anymore.
I know.
It's just like blast and cruise. You know, what we used to do was try to at least establish your own system and at least try to turn it back on. And that's kind of went by the wayside. I don't know that people even do that anymore. But I always tell people, if you can get your own system to restart, then go for it. Now, there will come a time when it won't restart.
Yeah.
But until then, I would at least try.
I was just going to say, for the longest time, like I think I started my first cycle when I was 20. And I think I remember all the way up until I was about 35 years old, there was always an off period of at least 6 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would reestablish my blood work, get everything back to normal, and then I would get back on. So yeah. It wasn't until I was older that I realized I'm just crashing. Like nothing's restarting.
Yeah.
So that's when I started the TRT kind of in between.
Yeah. I mean, my history was, I had this, I was like the first 8 years that I trained, I was very anti-chemical, you know, all that stuff will kill you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do some research and you realize, okay, maybe it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. But anyways, I always had this thing in my head. I'm going to stay clean in the off season so that I can maintain everything that I've built.
Yeah.
So what I did the first several years I competed was I only used something pre-contest. So here's kind of like how I had this all in my mind. I had a plan. So it was, I'm going to need 6 months to grow. And I'm going to need 3 months to diet. So I had this thing like in 9 month periods.
Yeah.
I would do a show. And then when I was done, I would look, because there used to be tons of shows in Ohio. So I would go ahead to the next year. Okay, what's about 9 months away?
Yeah.
Then the next year was like, okay, what's about 9 months away? So the first years, you know, in my 19 and 20 years old, hold on, they just turned on a sweeper. So the first several shows I did when I was at that age, like in my early 20s, it was completely clean in the off season.
Yeah.
And you know, the only thing I took the first couple years I competed was Winstrol. That was my entire cycle, and I didn't lose a show the first couple of years. That's all I took. Now, can you imagine telling somebody that, Dale?
Well, I don't, I'm your friend and I don't believe you.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. I've told this story a bunch of times, but my workout partner, his dad was a veterinarian.
Yeah.
And so one day he comes into the gym. He's like, John, I was already reading on this stuff. Like, you know me, man, I was studying everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, my dad has this stuff called Winstrol in his vet truck. Should I grab some of it for you? And I was like, let's do it, man. Grab it.
And that was the first time you did anything?
Yeah. So these were the 30 cc, this was the 30 cc Upjohn bottles of Winstrol. Mm-hmm. You know, 50 milligrams. So what I did was I did one every other day. So it lasted me 60 days. So my first cycle was actually 60 days before the show.
Yeah.
And I got super shredded. And that was the only thing I took. There was no clean. There was nothing, nothing, no test. And I just remember it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was incredible how well it worked. And then the next time I did the same thing. I was like, I just need one bottle of Winstrol. And he's like, cool, man, just give me $50. And I was like, and now I look back and I was like, that's a good deal, man.
Yeah. Do you think it's because obviously you're genetically gifted for putting on muscle? I mean, you told me you were squatting like 500 pounds at 16 years old, naturally.
18.
Okay. I exaggerated a couple of years, but it's still crazy. But is that something that people can do now? Like, do you think guys can still do that? Because the landscape has changed a bit, right? Like,
it has changed. That's a great question. I'm 50-50 on that. Here's what I would say. I would say it's kind of sad when you see someone that's just trying to win their state title and they're taking 10 units of growth and 800 migs of trend and 1,000 grams of test and 600 grams of migs of Masteron.
Yeah.
Just to win a state title. Like, if that is your end goal, I just want to win the state title. And there was a lot of us that's what the end goal was back then, because the state titles were a very big deal. I mean, you're probably not going to have much of a career in bodybuilding if it takes that much just to win a state title.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Through the years, one of the ways that I got my doses down, it was almost accidental. And here's what I mean by that. So I remember one year when I couldn't get any Halo.
Yeah.
I always liked Halo the last 3 weeks before a contest. And one year I couldn't get any Halo. Mm. So, okay, well, I'm not going to cancel the show because I can't get Halo. Yeah. So I did the show and I looked great. I was like, wow, I didn't actually need that. And then there was another year where I took a little trend and I felt weird. Like, I didn't feel right mentally. And I was like, man, I'm not going to take this stuff anymore. I did the show. Lo and behold, wow, I still look good. I didn't need the trend.
Yeah.
So I got to a point where it was just like some test and mass and throw in some orals at the end. And that's literally all I did the last 5-6 years of competing. So I think that, I mean, to expect somebody to compete nationally on a bottle of Winstrol is, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's possible. But what I will say is people could go a lot further with a lot lower doses. They have been bamboozled by these coaches out there that tell you need a gram of tren, a gram of this. I mean, I could sit here and tell you conversations I've had with some of the top guys from the old days, and the most of their tren dose was 3 ampules was the from you know, the 1.5 milliampules from Negma. That was the max dose.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second though? Cause I hear this all the time, and I have a theory about it that some people agree with and some people don't. I feel like the gear back in the day was a lot better. Like, I feel like what you could produce with 376 milligram parabolan ampules is not equal to 300 milligram shots of Trenace nowadays. Yeah. It's just not the same. I just don't feel like it's giving you the same look, just the same way as like back in the day what Anadrol used to do versus now what Anadrol does. It's just, I don't feel like the gear is as pure or as powerful, for lack of a better word.
Well, so first of all, I would 100% agree with you. And I've had a lot of discussions with people about this, and they're like, no, John, 100 milligrams of Anadrol is 100 milligrams of Anadrol. It can't be any different. Mm. I'll say, well, how do you know you're getting 100 milligrams of Anadrol? Well, here's this lab test I got. Mm. Okay, let me explain to you how this works. So these guys will make a batch and they'll make it perfect and everybody will love it. And then guess what happens after that? They get their tests, they sure body, and then the second batch, the third batch, the fourth batch. And even Mexico did that. There was this test called Bravo. or Bravel, we used to call it, just for laughs.
Yeah.
The Bravel test was supposed to be 200 milligrams. It was fantastic. And then they started testing it. Mm-hmm. One next, you know, then there was a year where the batches were 170 milligrams, then 140 milligrams, then it was 90 milligrams. Mm. And all of the, do you remember all the Mexican, like the Den Cows, the.
Yep. That's when I started.
SIG groups, like all that stuff started out immaculate. Like that, they had Stanozolic, right?
Yep.
It was the Winstrol.
Yep.
It was phenomenal.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it started clogging up and it wouldn't go through, you know, then all of a sudden the quality went. So this is what I try to tell people. It's the same thing you do in a supplement industry. There's a supplement company right now that tests their health supplements and they have a good test. And then who knows what they're doing after that because of their track record. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to do a good batch and then test it and assure by your test results. But unless you're doing that every single batch, you don't really know. So a couple of things to your point, the Anadrols.
John, before you go on, do you have a set of headphones or no?
I do not.
Because I can hear myself, like I can hear the reverb on your laptop. And it's okay. I just hope that when we're done recording, it's still okay.
Oh, see, you sound perfect to me.
I know, but like when I'm talking, I can hear myself in your room.
Let me do this. Talk now.
Okay, I'm talking now.
You still hear it?
Nope, clear.
Okay, I had my volume up too loud.
Can you hear me though?
Oh, you're perfect.
Okay, good. Okay, let's continue. Sorry.
Okay.
So you're talking about Anadrol.
Yeah, we didn't even call them Anadrol. We called them 2902s.
Okay.
They had these old pills with a 2902 number on them stand.
Yeah.
And these things were amazing. They were amazing. Like you could take, like the second day you took it, you knew something was going on. Mm-hmm. And I hear people now go, now how long does it take for Anadrol to work? I've been taking it for 2 weeks and I don't really feel anything. I'm like, that's not Anadrol.
No, I remember when I started, I mean, I think I started on the cusp where there was still some pharmacy stuff, but they were starting to get rid of it. And I think the first 2 or 3 years I was bodybuilding, they had pharmacy stuff. And then after that's when I got into the Den Cals and all the, I think it was QT or QL, something like that.
QV.
QV, that's it.
Yeah.
They were all good. It was like, I think it was a lab called Spectra or something like that. But then,
oh, yeah, that's the Australian stuff, Spectrial.
Yeah. So then, my point of all of it is I feel like a lot of the old school guys are like, well, guys are taking 2,000 milligrams of test. We only took 1,000 or we only took whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not really 2,000. It might be 2,000 measured in a syringe, but it's not, they're not getting 2,000. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. It's a good point, man. That's a great point. It's a great discussion. And we don't really know.
I also wonder sometimes if that has, and I've brought this up before and people just kind of brush it off, but I've also wondered before if that has anything to do with the hardness of the physiques.
That's a great question too, because, you know, you had things like the Masteron. It came in these little ampules. Actually, they were from Belgium. And they had a skull and crossbones on them. They're really cool.
That means they're good.
And then the Primo, like if you get Primo now, I tell people 99% of Primo it's not Primo. It's nandrolone, phenylpropionate, or it's tespropionate. You know, I have these people going, hey, John, I got gyno from Primo. I'm like, it's not Primo.
Because it's not Primo, yeah.
You don't get gyno. But, you know, or like these women, they'll take, oh, John, I'm taking Anavar and all this stuff's happening. I'm only taking 5 milligrams. Like, you're taking D-ball. You're not taking Anavar. And that's part of the problem too, is because a lot of those, the Primo acetate pills used to be phenomenal. Like all those good hardeners that were so clean, a lot of, they have this kind of like this, this mysterious legacy, like, yeah. Oh my God, it's so awesome. And now, so people play into that. These bad guys do. And then they give people stuff that is something, but it's not what they think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I know. Okay. So we went way off track there. I was trying to just kind of like give people an idea of what to do during Corona, because I keep seeing this reoccurring theme from like gym bros that are like, just stay on your cycle, bro. Just stay on your cycle. And I'm like, you know, if you're just doing band workouts, you don't need to be taking 1,000 milligrams of test and like whatever else you're taking. And if you're not doing anything, if you're just resting, then it's a waste of time. And I think it's because people think this is going to be like a 2-week thing. Yeah. And it could be a month. It could be 2 months. And if you're sitting around just taking gear for no reason for 2 months, I feel like it's, you know, it's not only that it's a waste of money. It's probably going to do something to your health. You're just taking this stuff for no reason. Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Yeah. So, okay. So that covers that area. The next question I've gotten the most is, what do I do with my food? And what I told people originally was just keep eating because it's only going to be a week or two off and you're going to need the recovery time. But now I'm realizing that was bad advice because it's obviously going to be longer than 1 or 2 weeks. So where do they go with their diets?
I think it depends on what their goal was. If their goal was, let's say their goal was to just maintain muscle. Because that's what I get. How do I keep my muscle? I certainly would not want you in a caloric deficit. You know, you don't have the weight training to stimulate muscle.
Yeah.
So now then, if you add on top of that the lack of protein synthesis, if you don't have enough protein or enough calories, you're making it much more difficult. So I certainly wouldn't tell someone to go down to a caloric deficit.
So but can I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I give you a scenario just so we can give people kind of like a clearer picture?
Yeah.
So let's say we have a 200-pound male. And his maintenance calories are 3,000 calories. Do you suggest he's still, you said you want him in a deficit, so you want him at like 2,800 or you want him at?
No, I'm saying I don't want him in a deficit.
Oh, you don't want him in a deficit. Okay, so you want him at 3,000 or you still want him in a surplus?
I would keep his protein pretty high to protect muscle. I don't know that you need a ton of carbs if you're not active. If you're sitting around, I don't know that you need a ton of carbs. But I will say this, I'm kind of nitpicking too, because the most important thing is really their calories.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about a dude that's going to eat 30 grams of protein, then that's obviously not a good idea.
Yeah.
But as long as their protein is adequate and it's sufficient, you know, if like that guy's 200 pounds, if he's eating 150 grams of protein, I have no problem with that as long as his calories are still up where they need to be. Now, generally speaking, I'm probably going to lower somebody's carbs and keep their protein up to try to protect their muscles best I can. But again, I'm nitpicking because carbs spare protein. So really the most important thing is don't let your protein crash and don't take your calories down if your goal is to keep your muscle, if that's the goal.
Okay, but there's one thing one glaring thing you left out, which is something you're an advocate of, which is always keeping your fats up too.
Yeah, I never really take those out. Like you need to get your healthy fats in. Would only take those out in extreme circumstances, but 99% of the time I'm pretty much going to leave those in.
So if somebody's eating 3,000 calories, you want, let's say 50% of it to be from protein or 40 at least?
I think a good split is probably 40, 30, 30, something like that. Okay. 40 protein, 30 carbs, 30 fat.
Okay, that gives people a good idea. So you're not messing with protein and fats as much as you are. You might just dip your carbs a little bit to make sure you're not getting fluffier than you want to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So go ahead.
No, and again, people should realize too, just the calories where they're at is going to be the biggest deal. Mm-hmm. And then you got to look at like what their activity is like. So if they're very busy, if they're a busy person, they're training hard, and that person is 3,000 calories, like you said, now if they're going to be sitting around, now that 3,000 isn't really their maintenance, though. It might be 2,800 because now their NEAT is lower. They're just sitting around. They're watching Netflix.
What's NEAT for those that don't know what NEAT is?
Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So that's not when you're doing cardio or weights. It's so just what you do. Like right now, this is NEAT for us.
So your everyday calorie expenditure is your NEAT.
It's not what is going on internally. That's your basal metabolic rate. That's just kind of the phrase is to keep the lights on.
Yep.
It's just the kind of the movement that you have day to day.
Your daily activities, but not including training or any of that.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I got you.
So that'll usually, if you look at it percentage wise, that's actually a bigger part of people's energy expenditure than actual exercises many of the times. It makes sense when you think about it because you're doing it all day.
Yeah. Unless you're a pro bodybuilder like me, then you're just sitting on the couch and waiting for your next meal.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about, we covered food, we covered drugs. What about, and for training, you've got some, I saw on your YouTube channel, you have some home workout stuff. You have some band workouts for push pull. Obviously you're, guys can do that. They can follow those workouts. I think I did a a shoulder band workout today that'll be out tomorrow. So there's a lot of stuff out there for home workouts, right?
Yeah. And the band workouts that I put up are actually pretty tough. They're, yeah. It's not jumping jacks and burpees, you know, it's yeah. tough. And when you think about building muscle, if you just, I like to break things down to a very simple level. Mm-hmm. And what we know is, or I don't like to say no, what we think is mm-hmm. that anytime you're between, say, 6 and 20 reps, there's an opportunity there for you to grow. You could probably make a good case for maybe even up to 30 reps, but let's just yeah. say 6 to 20. And what we think happens is when you're using that 6, 7, 8 rep range, as long as the weight is pretty heavy, you know, 85% of your one rep max, as long as you're getting close to failure, then you're probably stimulating everything you need to grow. Mm-hmm. And if you're using lighter weights than that, like let's say you're down to 65%, 60% of your one rep max, it's lighter. Now you just have to get to failure.
Yeah.
So if you want lower reps, the heavy weight is going to activate. And it's really simple when you think about it.
Yeah.
If you have a heavy weight, your muscle has to produce force to lift that weight. Mm-hmm. The heavier the weight is, the more force your muscles have to produce. So you have more muscle fibers engaged to produce that force. It's very simple.
Yeah.
But if you take a lighter weight, let's say, I'm just making this up, yeah. 50% of your muscle fibers have to produce force to lift that weight. Yeah. So now to get all those other fibers, you've got to get those fibers tired mm-hmm. so that the other fibers go, man, I got to pick up the slack. I got to jump in and help.
So just so people understand, you mean, let's say I bench press 400 pounds for 6 reps. If I'm using 400 pounds, my body has to recruit 100% of my pec muscles to bench that 400 pounds, probably for the last 4 of those 6 reps. The sound, yeah. is that yeah, right?
We'll go okay. with that.
We'll go with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm benching 225, now my body's not going to recruit 60, 70, 80, 90, 100% of the muscle till I get to 10 or 15 reps, and then it's going to start working.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Then you're going to start taxing those other fibers.
Okay.
So, and the reason why I brought that up is because with a band, as long as you're making, as long as you're following those principles,
as long as you're recruiting that 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, exactly. So when people say hypertrophy is greatest between 8 and 12 reps, it's a good number to go by, but it's not exactly true because really it's just about recruiting the most fibers possible.
That's right.
So you can, like I did that shoulder band workout today. It was actually hard. Like it's not easy doing band work yeah. if you're doing it properly.
It's not, it's not. And I would say, you know, I've got this thing I say now, activate the fibers and then load the fibers. It has to be sufficient tension and then exhaust the fibers. Mm-hmm. And what the situation you just described with the reps does that. It gives you maximum activation. You're loading the muscles. Now, you could have people do plyometrics and they can just jump up in the air and that actually produces a ton of activation.
Yeah.
But there's no mechanical loading. So you can do all the jumps you want, but you're not going to get 30-inch legs doing jumps.
Okay, wait. So I just want to ask a question about that just so anybody listening, because I have these questions and I'm sure other people do too. So let's take that example. If I'm jumping 50 times and my quads are now sore, did I not tax 100% of the muscle, or it doesn't matter because it wasn't a load put on them? I just fatigued them.
Yeah. Honestly, in that case, it was probably the, when you landed the center, the isometric hold
at the bottom part. And springing back up. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause what happens if you look at this at the kind of the basic level is the high velocity stuff, which is a jump, that's high velocity.
Yeah.
I love doing that with athletes. It teaches them to produce force fast.
Okay.
And for an athlete, that's what they need. They need to very rapidly produce a lot of force, change direction, explode.
Yeah.
But what happens with this real high velocity stuff is at the you know, more detailed level, these muscle fibers have to produce force. And the way they do it is you have these things, these actin, myosin filaments that kind of they cross bridge, they hook together, and the fibers can produce a lot of force.
Okay.
So when you have this high velocity stuff, the fibers, they don't have that cross bridge. It allows them to produce force. I'm just trying to make this as simple as I can.
Okay.
That tension then is gone. So okay. even though you're doing high velocity stuff,
yeah,
the tension is gone.
Okay.
So you can't grow really.
So that's why. So that's why we always say you got to lift heavy to get big.
That's right. So okay. you've got to have that. Those actin, myosin filaments have to. There's a they lock in. They produce force. Is the simplest way to put it.
Okay. Okay.
And that's mechanical tension. And okay. when that happens, and then you get, you know, then you have these changes that create growth in the muscle fiber itself.
Okay. So this all makes sense to me now. So basically, you don't have to lift really heavy to put muscle on. You have to fatigue the muscle under load. But when we say you have to lift really heavy to get big, we're saying optimally. So if you want to do it faster, the heavier you lift, the probably the faster you're going to grow. Is that a fair statement?
As long as the form is good. I mean,
well, that goes without saying. We're not. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as long as form is good and you can lift more weight and still get your reps, then absolutely do it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we got band work, we got the gear, we got the food, water intake is going to stay normal. What about supplementation? Is it worth, like, people have been messaging me because a lot of people bought, pre-workouts and stuff on their pre-orders from our company. And, they're like, well, is it still worth taking it for a home workout? And I've been telling them to take half a scoop because I don't know if you need a full scoop kind of thing. And today, actually, I did a little video on different proteins that you can use. And I used your protein as one of the examples as a protein to buy because it's a blend. So can you touch on protein powders and which ones you would go with if you had to replace a meal with the protein powder?
Yeah. So if you go to the grocery store and they're all sold out of eggs and chicken, like they are here at a lot of grocery stores, then protein powder is a great substitute. Now, if it's to replace a meal, I prefer the blend.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the casein, it just slows things down. Obviously I love whey, the branch chain amino, the BCAAs in it are obviously very good. All the EAs are in it. The casein can slow things down. So I really like that combination a lot to replace a meal. If you're looking at maybe before or after you trained, then maybe you want something just like the whey isolate before you train so it's not so heavy in you.
Okay.
Or maybe after you train, if you don't really want a meal, you just want to have a little drink and chill out before you eat a meal later, then I think an isolate's good, nice and clean. Mm-hmm. Or even a whey concentrate. Like I tell people, there's not a cow that produces whey concentrate and another cow that produces whey isolate. It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing though, is it? You think it's okay to take whey from concentrate? Isn't that kind of like orange juice from concentrate?
Well, that's different. Orange juice from concentrate and pure orange juice is different. So the difference between whey concentrate and whey isolate, it's just that the isolate goes through and it's some addition. It all gets processed. Like you're not, you know, so the difference is they're just running it through a little bit of extra processing to remove some lactose and a little bit of fat. That's literally the only difference.
But doesn't that little difference make it more absorbable and more easily digestible?
If you have a lactose intolerance, yes.
Okay.
In terms of more absorbable, that's debatable.
So
probably a little bit because but yeah. The other thing is with the whey concentrate has the subfractions in it. What does
that mean?
It's the things for your immune system, like like beta albumin, lactalbumin, all this stuff. Lactoferrin. Those protein subfractions are really good for your immune system.
Okay.
So I personally think that whey concentrate and whey isolate are both very good proteins. I think they're both very good proteins. I think what's happened a lot is protein companies that make protein have thrown in a bunch of crap and it's made people sick.
Yeah.
Or they've spiked it, you know? So let's say they claim 20 grams of protein.
Yeah.
But then you look at it and 18 grams of it are from two of the aminos that are the cheapest.
The weakest aminos. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe they put 18 grams of glycine and something else in there instead of the BCAAs and all that. Yeah. That happened a lot. And I mean, there's some big, big companies out there that got called for that. Of course, they're still in business.
Sure.
But I think if you get a real well-made concentrate and a real well-made isolate, I think you're good. I think they're both okay. Very good. Same thing with casein. I think casein's a very good protein.
I didn't know that. I always you're always teaching me. I'm 20 years in. I'm still learning. I always thought my impression of whey concentrate was always that it's like orange juice from concentrate, meaning it's like half protein and half filler. And not the full spectrum of a real protein like a whey isolate would be.
Nope, same stuff.
God damn, I've been telling people the wrong information all this time.
No man, it's the same stuff. Okay, in fact, some of the whey isolates are jam full of crap too.
Well, yeah, I know.
I have a hard time with whey isolate, and I don't drink it and go, "Well, whey isolate's terrible." It's just okay. I don't know what they're doing with this protein, but it's really bloating me and upsetting my stomach.
That always to me was the main trigger. If I bought a tub, because you know, when you're starting out, you don't know as much as you should, or even if you're not starting out, apparently. But the trigger for me was always if I drank a protein powder and it made me, you know, bloated and farting a lot and whatever. That wasn't the one. I was like, there's something wrong with this. It's not pure. It's not whatever it is. I need to buy something else. So that was always the main way I measured it.
Yeah.
But now I figure out it's all the same. So what about other supplements like your vitamins, your minerals, your pre-workouts, your creatine, if you're taking creatine, like all this other stuff. Is that necessary at this time, or guys can kind of ease back on all that?
It comes back really to their training intensity. Mm-hmm. But just generally speaking,
yeah.
Like for me, I'm not going to take any pre-workouts right now. I'm going to use it as a time to kind of just get away from it. Yeah. And then when I come back to it, it's going to work really well. Yeah. So I'm kind of using this as a time to really not use any kind of, in fact, the only thing I'm doing is I'm just drinking a little bit of aminos.
Yeah.
While I train, that's it. I'm not even using my recovery stuff because I'm not beating myself up to quite the level that I'm used to. And when we talk about the interest stuff, I've always said the harder you train, the more value you get out of it.
Yeah.
But I've never once said everybody should be using it. It depends on how you train.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with my fish oil, my protein powder, my joint stuff for my joints. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm still using that.
Okay.
And then the basic health stuff. But the performance stuff, I'm kind of just like, yeah, I'm just going to back off that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't think of it. That's a really good point, actually. It kind of gives you a chance to like rest your adrenals from all the stimulants and all the kind of give your body a break and get some of that sensitivity back. Cause a lot of people are caffeine, you know, resistant at this point, they take so much of it. So I noticed just taking a week off caffeine, I was hypersensitive to it when I got back.
Oh yeah.
So maybe that'll be a good thing for people, kind of just take a break for a little while from that.
Yeah. I mean, caffeine, your body habituates to it very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the cheap pre-workouts that, you know, we get 30 servings out of this. No, you don't, because you end up having to take 2 scoops, 3 scoops. You're actually only getting 10 or 15 servings out of this.
Well, or
it's all caffeine.
Or they get 30 servings, but the serving scoop is like 7 grams. And it's like 5 grams of its caffeine.
Yeah.
You know, I found on my own personal note, apologize to the viewers. I found that launching the supplement company, I'm extremely happy with the formulas we launched, but I found the hardest thing, and I don't know if you've noticed this, because I know your formulas are really good as well. It's very hard to educate people on the difference between the products because
for sure,
for a lot of people, I feel like a pre-workout is a pre-workout and they don't really understand the small intricacies of, you know, the ingredients or the doses or why this one has 50 servings and why this one is, you know, sometimes they'll put half a scoop and a full scoop and then they put the serving size based on the half scoop. So it's really, you know what I mean? And just, there's all these little things that you really have to elaborate on to people. And yep. I never anticipated it. I never.
Especially with pre-workouts. You know, I used to get all the, well, I take C4. You know, it's only $29. I'm like, well,
there's nothing in it.
Well, you can basically just drink a big cup of coffee and get the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because it has turned into such a marketing game. You know, the prettiest labels. And you said it too, the way you can kind of manipulate somebody's brain. For instance, teacrine, right? Mm. So teacrine, let's say you're using the 40%. So if you use 100 milligrams, you're going to have 40 milligrams of active theacrine. Now, you and I know that. So I'll see a company that says 250 milligrams of theacrine, and everybody's like, these guys have double what you have, John.
But don't wait a minute. Don't I think I have that on my label? But well, I think it says 40% yield or something like that. Yeah.
But they won't say that though. There's one company in particular I'm thinking about. They didn't say that. So I'm like, hey, there's a problem with this label, but this is in Vitamin Shoppe. Like, how did you guys get Vitamin Shoppe's pretty tough on their labels?
Yeah.
But I had someone go, well, John, I know you love theacrine, but these guys have double what you have. You said you had 100 milligrams and these guys have 250. I'm like, multiply that times 0.4 and see what you get.
So it is
a little bit of a labeling game. It's a marketing game. It's, you know, can I get 25 athletes to say my products are good? I mean, that's just the nature of the beast is what it is right now.
I should have taken, there was some advice sent my way when we were starting. Like somebody had mentioned, hey, you guys should do half a scoop. Not because they were trying to trick anybody. They actually just said, look, there's pretty high doses of everything in here.
Yeah.
And not everybody is going to need this level. So you should put half a scoop, full scoop, and put 40 servings.
Yep.
And I was like, no, that's not the way we designed it. We designed it so people could take a full scoop. And now I look at it and I'm like, you know what? It would have been a good idea, not because it would have said 40 servings, but because they're kind of right. Like, you might only need half a scoop if you know what I mean? If you're not 250 pounds, you don't necessarily need.
I got that exact question today from a customer.
Yeah.
He asked me, the question was, why do you only have 20 servings in your pre-workout? I just answered this question 3 hours ago. And I said, well, because we're using ingredients at a clinical dose, like it's a big dose.
That's right.
I said, if it makes you feel any better, if you just take half of a scoop, you're probably still going to be better than 95% of the products out there.
That's what I realized.
I literally just got that question a couple hours ago from a guy. I can see both sides of that because when I started, I was on your side. I was like, no, it's a full serving, 20 it is. But then it's like, wait a minute, this is pretty good. So some people could probably benefit quite a bit from that.
Yeah, but my thing was I wasn't looking at it like that. I thought they were trying to play a trickery game. When they gave me this suggestion, I thought they meant if you put half, you can put 40 on the label and it will look like you have a lot of servings. And I was like, I don't want to play that game. I want to put what it is. But then at this point now, I see your point, which is even at half, we're still higher than the majority.
Yeah.
And in that regard, it makes sense. So. Yeah. Maybe on the next label, we'll see. We're going to have to discuss it. I still don't – something about it still doesn't feel right to me.
I'm not going to take half myself because I feel like this is dosed perfect at one scoop.
Well, that's how I feel. I'm like, okay, if it says, you know, to get a crazy pump, whatever the clinical terminology is, you need 6,000 milligrams of this, then I'm not going to tell people to take three. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway. Yeah. So let's get off that. I don't want people to think we're doing an infomercial. I just wanted to touch on what they should be taking. Okay. The last thing I want to do before I let you go, because I told you I wouldn't keep you on long, is I just want to go over my diet really quickly because I have some questions and I thought it would give people to see a chance kind of what you have me doing to help shrink my waist and lose some weight. So I'm going to bring this up. Okay. Can you see my screen?
I can. Boy, that looks pretty.
Yeah, who designed this program? I don't know.
That looks pretty.
This is so – I can't believe – I don't know coaches do this kind of thing. It's usually just like a Word document. Okay, so let me just put you here so I can see what I'm doing. Okay, so these are non-training days, and these are training days. So I have 5 training days a week, so let's focus on this. So this meal is – oh, wait, this isn't – this is the first one. So let's go to the current one. This is the current one. These are my training days. There's 5 or 6.
Yep.
This meal is tiny, by the way. I just want to let you know I'm starving.
I figured the first meal you'd be pretty hungry. Yeah.
I'm still hungry as we speak, but you know what? Yeah. It's okay. And actually today I forgot to put this quarter cup of cream of rice in. And I forgot all of this. I just did.
What the hell, man?
Oh, you know why? It's because I switched. I like doing the Where is that? Did you get rid of the sourdough bread?
I did.
Oh, I'm still stuck on the sourdough bread. I haven't been having this cream of rice. I've been having the sourdough.
Well, let's see, the sourdough was, it's about the same ballpark macro-wise. It's close.
Do you mind if I keep the sourdough?
I don't care. It's close.
So yeah. Let's go back one because I want people to see, because that was one of the questions I wanted people to.
It's down. If you scroll down, it's in meal
right
four.
It's right here. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I put this sourdough here and I put the cream of rice here.
That's fine.
So, okay. So let's start with meal one. You have a Greek yogurt. This is a gluten-free granola. Scoop away and cream of rice. So the cream of rice you just added, I was just doing these three things, which is extremely tiny for a meal.
Yes, for sure.
But it has all the macros. I mean, you still have, 50 grams of protein, it's still calorie dense enough. Okay. Explain why the Greek yogurt.
So first of all, people need to understand that you're trying to lose weight and be in a caloric deficit, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is people have to understand your history. And you've had some issues with bloating and things like that and some inflammation in your gut. So the reason why I put the Greek yogurt in there, and notice it doesn't say flavored, I put the Greek yogurt in there, the plain Greek yogurt, to provide some probiotics to feed the good bacteria, or to provide good bacteria for your stomach.
Okay.
So providing some good bacteria for your stomach, I think, is a really good thing for your case. Mm-hmm. Then I just put in like a little granola. That's more just to flavor it.
Okay. Honestly, without this granola, I couldn't eat this Greek yogurt.
I couldn't either. That's why I use that. You have to have something realistically to flavor it. I don't expect anybody to eat it by itself.
Plain. I'd rather just put berry. You know that we get the berries and throw some berries.
Blueberries and raspberries are awesome in it. That's what I do. I usually mix up a bunch of blueberries.
Okay.
And so that's what I was thinking there. I need to get something to provide some probiotics in your stomach. And that's really it. That's in the meal. I didn't want you to wake up, have a meal, and then all of a sudden be real full and bloated. I want your waist to feel, I don't ever want you to feel like bloated. I want the meals after you eat them for you to feel nice and tight.
Okay. I want to tell you something. Nothing in this diet makes me feel bloated. And actually, to be honest with you, I like the feeling of being hungry because I feel like my waist is getting smaller.
It will for sure too.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one thing. So that's the Greek yogurt. And I had a feeling that's why you did it, because I know Greek yogurt has the probiotics. The granola, I didn't know why, but now I understand it's for flavor.
Yep.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, I feel like the inflammation, and for those of you who don't know, I had some testing done and they told me, we're not just sitting here guessing that I have inflammation. Like, the doctor told me there's a lot of inflammation in my gut lining. So I wanted to ask you, John, do you think all the sweeteners could be really affecting the inflammation? Because if you look at my diet, I have the sweetener in the whey, the sweeteners in the whey, whatever they use to sweeten it. And then I always put sweetener in my cream of rice, and I have, I have cream of rice here, cream of rice here. And then I have sweetener in my pre-workout and my intra-workout. You know what I mean? So I feel like, do you think we should try and change some of these to eliminate the sweeteners, or do you think it's okay as far as inflammation goes?
It can definitely be a problem. And that's one of the reasons why I only put basically one scoop there.
Can we switch this can I do one cup of egg whites instead? Cause it's about the same.
Yeah.
Or is that more?
The only thing about egg whites is a lot of people develop sensitivity to egg whites too. Like, that's actually number one on what people develop sensitivity to.
Okay.
I put one scoop of protein bar there for two reasons. Number one, I wanted it something light that didn't bloat you. And I figured one scoop isn't going to hurt you.
No, it's been okay.
And actually what I wanted you to do, and this is my fault for not explaining it to you, I actually wanted you to mix it in that cream of rice to give it the flavor.
I mix it in with the Greek yogurt.
Okay. Well, that works too. But now you've got your cream of rice is plain.
Oh, so you wanted me to mix it with my cream of rice so I didn't have to add sweetener.
Yes.
Okay. I can do that. That's fine. Cause if I can use berries in this Greek yogurt, then I don't need to put the protein powder in it.
That's right. Yeah.
So I can put the protein powder with the cream of rice and I don't have to use the sweetener.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So then moving down here, I found this very interesting when we talked about it a long time ago. why does it say scrambled? Can I not do them sunny side up? Or
you know what? It can be. I prefer you actually rotate them. And actually over easy is probably the best. If you scramble it, there is a risk of oxidizing the cholesterol. So
can you explain? I know I honestly don't want to keep you forever, but this was very interesting to me when you taught it to me a long time ago. Can you explain to people what the difference is in the cooking of eggs?
Well, I mean, basically, first of all, you got to think about what you cook it in. And I have a little bit of butter down there for you to cook the eggs in because...
Oh, is that what that's for?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been putting it on my toast.
It's good on toast too.
Okay.
You have to be careful about what you cook your food in because when you talk about inflammation, so if you use like corn oils and soybean oils and all these cheap oils, they are polyunsaturated fats. So mm-hmm. as soon as they get exposed to high heat, they oxidize. They basically turn into free radicals in your body. Mm-hmm. Butter is heavily saturated and it stands up to heat. So you're not putting all these free radicals in your body. It's a healthier choice.
Okay.
Many times I'll have coconut oil in there as well. For whatever reason, I had butter on that. It could be butter. It could be coconut oil. Coconut oil is a little different. It's a medium chain triglyceride, and you still don't want to use a real high heat on that. Everything you could use, if you wanted, is you could use macadamia nut oil. You could use.
But I feel like coconut oil. I feel like it never burns up. When I cook with coconut oil, I feel like it just never. You know how if you cook with olive oil, it dries up, like it evaporates. It
absolutely will for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like I get that with coconut oil at all. I feel like it's always like viscous. There's always there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as long as you keep the heat low.
Yeah.
It is pretty good. The other oil that's really nice too is avocado oil.
Yeah, I have that. And I'm not sure. I'm not huge on the flavor, but I have some of that.
Yeah, I've actually been cooking my eggs in avocado oil lately. I kind of rotate. Sometimes I'll do coconut oil. Sometimes I'll do butter. Sometimes I'll do avocado oil. But really on this one, I just wanted kind of a small meal to give you to – the last thing I want is you hungry while you're training.
No, can I – I'm sorry. I know that's your thing, but can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So I've been doing – so like I said, this sourdough here, I moved here. So I've been doing – the butter on the sourdough and then the three. So I make a sandwich out of it.
Yeah.
And,
perfect.
It goes down. I feel like I didn't even eat. I feel like I didn't even eat and I go train. I'm never bloated when I train. And I always tell people the smallest meal of your day should be your pre-workout meal.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the fact that this meal is tiny. It's
okay,
like,
okay. So I'm going to remind you of something. Do you remember when we talked and I told you I was eating two scrambled eggs and two pieces of toast?
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't understand how you do that. I need six eggs. I need a cup of oatmeal.
Yeah.
I told you you'd feel good with that small meal, didn't I?
But wait a minute. This is my second meal. I still like to have a big breakfast, but what's superseding for people that don't know my history, what's superseding all of the nutritional or the traditional nutritional guidelines is we are trying to shrink my stomach because I don't want to put on any more muscle. I just want to maintain the muscle I have and shrink my stomach so that the overall illusion is better. So that's why we're doing smaller meals for those of you who don't know my past.
Yeah.
But this is an awesome meal. But the question I had originally was, I remember you telling me that there was a difference in the way your body processes the eggs between scrambled, sunny side up, hard boiled and all that.
It doesn't really, you still absorb all the protein. It's just, if you eat them the same way over and over and over, sometimes you can develop a sensitivity to eggs.
Okay.
But if you're rotating the way you make them, just changing the way you cook it will generally prevent that from happening.
Okay.
If you were to say what is kind of the perfect way to do it, it would probably be over easy. Like that's the least risky way to do it.
Okay. And then here we have 10 grams of amino, 50 grams of clustered dextrin. I've been doing two scoops of our intra-workout because it's 16 grams of aminos and two scoops, but it adds up to about 50 grams of carbs. So I figured it was okay.
Yep.
This meal is awesome. I'm always starving when I get home from the gym, obviously, because these meals are small.
Yeah.
And my workouts have been very, very high rep lately.
Yeah.
This meal is amazing. It goes, for some reason, I'm not bloated at all, even those two cups of rice. And then we get down here, and Well, if we switch to back to the current diet, we get down to meal four and there's no more carbs for the rest of the night.
And that was a hard push to get you leaner.
That's right. That's right. And I'm okay. And I'm okay with it. This,
I switched out, for those of you who don't know, I switched out his carbs with
we'll go back. So this was meal four, yesterday or before the change. This was meal four, but I was doing this half a cup of cream of rice down here instead of the sourdough.
Yeah.
So I had 72 grams of carbs down here in this meal, which was satiating.
Yep.
And then now you've switched it to olive oil, chicken breast. Oh, no, that's meal six. Sorry. You switched it to the same thing, but you put in one cup of egg whites instead.
Yeah.
Which, go ahead. Explain why.
The reason why I put in those egg whites was for volume, because if you cook a cup of egg whites, it produces a high volume of food. And I thought you could make a nice little omelet with the chicken and spinach in and cook it in the butter.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you remember the egg white diet we did? It was just all egg whites and ketchup.
I will never forget that ever.
That was all for volume. I was eating, for those of you who don't know, I was eating like 16 egg whites probably three or four times a day.
Oh yeah.
Easy. But I think it was just so I could have the ketchup, because John let me put ketchup on them. I was so hungry for sugar. I was doing like 16 egg whites four times a day, just covering it in ketchup. It was just okay. So yeah, this meal is good now with the egg whites. It kind of makes you a little bit like, it holds me over pretty good.
Yeah.
And then down here, this is also, you know, I love when you add eggs, it makes everything kind of last longer.
That's the goal with those scrambled eggs too.
Yeah. It makes.
And
it
then
makes,
I wanted some extra calories. If you notice, I put the avocado in there too. I just wanted some fat in your diet there.
So I'll tell you something. So for people who are listening, you're trying to do substitutions because of what's going on at the grocery store. Last week I didn't have any avocados because I couldn't get to the grocery store. The lines were too long. I'm like, I'm not going. So I finally got some this week, but last week I switched this fat out for like olive oil. I'm like, I got to get a fat in. I'm just going to put olive oil. And what I've noticed was the fiber content in the avocado is what's so great about it.
And potassium. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just mean because it makes it feel like I'm fuller for longer.
Yes, for sure.
So that's a really good addition. And this is just makes a really good salad. So, and then down here, same thing. I make a salad out of this and I usually throw some olive oil in there.
Yep.
And then I have the chicken breast at the end. So it's a little more chicken than I would like, but I mean, so far it's been working. I woke up this morning and my stomach felt, you know, better than it's felt in a long time. Good. So, and then down here we have my totals. So I'm doing 300 grams of protein, 317 grams of protein, 255 grams of carbs, and 135 grams of fat. So we're still pretty good in the carb department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even though you dropped all these carbs, we're still at 250. I mean, that's not low.
Yeah, that's not bad. Huh. But it's a big drop. If you go back to the sheet before, it was a lot more than that.
It's a 200 gram drop.
Yeah.
It's funny though, when you add the eggs in, I'm really not like that hungry.
Yeah.
Like this sheet here with the egg whites down here, and then the scrambled eggs. I mean, it really does help keep everything in order.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so we'll stop that. And then, sorry, just real quickly, really quickly on the day off, what's different here? Where's our macros? So you just lowered the carbs here a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, just because you're not quite as active. You're not in the gym.
Okay, but everything else is pretty much the same, right?
Should be pretty close, yeah.
305 and 305. Wait a minute. Oh, no, the carbs are the same on the sheet. 211, just the fats are a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Okay. But you rearrange.
It was that day was already a lower calorie day. So I didn't feel like, you know.
Well, you rearranged some of the meals too. I see that there's like Greek yogurt down here for meal six and stuff like that. Some coconut oil here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we'll stop that. So what do you think? How long do you think do you think one cheat meal a week? I mean, my cheat meals are pretty bad. They're not like small cheat meals, but do you think one cheat meal a week on a Saturday night is going to stop our progress from shrinking my stomach?
It depends on if it's a cheat meal or if it's sitting at the buffet for 3 hours.
What if it's ordering the buffet to my house? What does that count? Okay, it's not. It's in between. It's not like.
Yeah.
It's not like a burger and fries.
Yeah.
But it's not like a four-hour buffet session. It's like in between. But basically, in all seriousness, my question is, for those people out there who are like me, you're trying to shrink their waist or anything like that, does one meal really affect that, what we're trying to do that much? If it's bad?
No. Unless you're eating a 2 buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken, or if you're just eating 2 large pizzas, that's bad.
So if
the problem a lot of people have is they take their cheat meal early in the day and it messes up their whole day. That's why I prefer to have a cheat meal at the end of the day. So then you just go to bed.
Yep.
And then the other problem is some people mentally just can't stop once they get a little bit. So that's when you got to kind of look at the personality of the person and understand if they're disciplined. But I think you can head off a lot of it by just making sure it's the last meal of the day.
That's 100%. I 100% agree, because I always, like, me and my wife watch a lot of UFC events, and they always start around 10 o'clock at night. So I'll order some pizza or whatever, you know, Five Guys or whatever. And that's when I'll have it at like 10 o'clock. And by the time the fights are done, I'm too tired to eat anymore anyway. So I just go to bed and that's it. And the next morning I wake up and I feel like it's a new day and I can start over.
Yep.
But if I start with pancakes for breakfast, then the rest of the day is just a mess. So, before you go, how are you guys doing out there in Ohio? Are you okay?
Yeah, pretty good, man. I mean, it's just, I think all over the world, we're all in the same thing. We're on the lockdown. We're not supposed to really go anywhere unless it's the grocery store to get some, something from the pharmacy or something like that. So it's okay, man. I just got done playing basketball with the kids before you and I got on the line here. And yesterday we played football for a while. So, I mean, we're just trying to make the best of it, do the best we can.
Well, I mean, you homeschool your kids anyway, right?
Well, we used to. This is the first year we put them back in school.
And now you're homeschooling them again.
Yes. Yes.
So that's so weird. But at least you're used to it, and it's not an issue for you because you've done it before.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
They're doing really good, man. I'm really proud, because actually yesterday they got their end of their third quarter grades, and Alexander was all A+ and maybe 1 A. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan only had 1 B, so they're doing really good. When we were homeschooling them, I think we really prepared them well.
Which one is the Rubik's Cube genius?
Alexander.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So is he working on any new talents while he's home doing nothing?
Well, he's back on his yo-yo again. I don't know if you've seen him yo-yo, but he's really good.
I've seen some of them in your videos. Yeah.
He's really good at that. There's a guy named Gentry Stein who is Gentry is the number one yo-yo guy in the world.
Yeah.
And when Alexander gets like good grades on his grade card, or he does something really good, I'll get him a coaching session with Gentry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
this guy does online coaching.
Yeah, for yo-yos. He's really good.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, his name is Gentry Stein, but he's really good. So he's teaching Alexander all this stuff, and he sends me messages, and he's like, I can't believe how fast he learns. Like, he's really amazing at this stuff.
That's great.
So I feel kind of bad, because I feel like I have Alexander doing all this stuff and people don't even know I have another kid, Jonathan. It makes me feel bad. But Jonathan's he's the athletic one. So when I'm doing the Instagram stories of the workouts and everything, that's always Jonathan.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was the same one. I thought that was Alexander also.
Those are all Jonathan.
Oh, that's okay. Then they have their own talents. Yeah. One's like, doing the yo-yo Rubik's Cube, and the other one's a football bruiser. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. It's I'm trying to think of how I can work Jonathan into my YouTube videos though.
You know what you should do? And I was going to do this with my nephews because they're younger than I am. Just do challenges like athletic. Cause I was watching Brian Shaw's channel, and Brian does these challenges with his wife, where they do like obstacle courses or whatever, push-up challenges or whatever, right? Okay. And I was like, what a great idea. I got like a few nephews that are like 13, 14, 15. And I thought, okay, I'd take them on in a challenge, and then people could laugh at me because they'll be probably more athletic. But that's what I would do with them. Take them to the gym and do some like obstacle course stuff with them.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Jonathan's good, man.
How old is he?
They're both 11. So.
So it would be great for people to see an 11-year-old kick your butt.
He can do some crazy stuff, man. He does box jumps and he can jump like the box will be like midway up to his chest and he can jump up on there.
That's a challenge right there.
It's pretty amazing.
You know how many people would click to watch you do box jumps?
Well, I'm pretty good at vertical leaps, man.
Are you?
I'll have to tag you in some videos. I've actually done a lot of vertical leaps.
I got to see that.
I like the I'm going to shock you. If you I'll tag you on it, but if you scroll way down my Instagram, you'll see some vertical leaps I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm doing with a pro football player I was coaching at the time.
I think I've actually remember seeing one, but it'd still be a good challenge. See how many you could do, how many you could do in a row or something like that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I want to get back in the summer, back to doing a lot more of that athletic stuff. Cause I really enjoy it. It's really fun. Being able to move and just feel good. And like I was out there playing basketball today and I just feel so tight and weird. And
I'm shocked that after 30 plus years of lifting and lifting all the heavy weight that you still can move like that.
Yeah. I mean, we go out and we play football full speed with the kids and we play basketball full speed. I mean, I couldn't have done that 6-7 years ago. I just weighed too much.
Yeah.
But I feel lighter and I feel much more athletic and agile now. Yeah. And I'm sure you can relate to this too. You get to a certain point where everything just burns. Like if you just sit on the phone, your arm will start burning. And
I'm always on speaker. If I'm talking to you, it's probably speaker. Cause I don't want to hold the phone like this for 20 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's good though. It sounds like you're getting a lot of good family time and you guys are getting through it. So it's positive. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, John, I don't want to keep you. I've already kept you longer than we spoke about, but I appreciate you taking the time because everybody's got a lot of questions and we went over my diet for people to see what I'm doing. So, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime. Okay.
Let's do it again soon.
All right.
Okay, John. Bye-bye.